I want to speak about the oil of joy. Now, this Isthmus now the joy. I mean, the one song is what? Joy to. Okay, wait, I've got a singer. Yes. Have we heard it in the malls yet?
Yes.
Huh? Okay, so I just want to tell you that joy to the world is not a scripture. So just in case you wondered, I could look for the joy to the world scripture. You're not going to find it, but I'll yes. But what the angel actually said was, and the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. This is not on the slide, so you can watch me. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And I know we're going into this festive season, but may we remember what the season is about, why joy came, why the angels appeared, why did these things happen? Because God had good news for us in the fact that there was a Savior born for you and me. Now, if you are sitting here this morning and if you've received Him as your personal Lord and Savior, this is a good day. This is good news. This is the news that changes not just my life, but the world's life. And I think the one thing that, we as Christians must remember is not to sit on the good news, but to share the good news. To be like the angels. To pitch in someone's life and go, hey, I've got good news. And maybe you could try it this December. It's just walk up to someone. And all the introverts go like, are you nuts? We're not walking nowhere. But ask the Lord. You know, if I understand scripture right, we get the Holy Spirit, right? For boldness. Yeah. And that is applicable to introverts as well. Just by the way. So when the Holy Spirit comes on you, Steffi, then you can walk up to that person and go, I've got good news for you. I need to tell you something. Why are you sweating now? Just for boldness. Just the Holy Spirit. Just, pour out, baptize me so that I can speak. May it be you that speaks. Okay, everybody stretch hands to Steffi. But joy. You know, it's something that so easily disappears, doesn't it? Joy is something. What is joy? Are you joyous? Do you consider yourself a joyous person? I don't know. I haven't got time to ask each one of you where you're at as far as concerning joy is concerning. But there's this beautiful scripture that I want to read to us. And this scripture obviously is a prophetic word about Jesus Christ. And Jesus actually mentions the scripture when he starts his ministry. In any case, so I want us to read that. And that's in Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3. Says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, can I just pause there quickly? And maybe just say this. If you are a born-again believer, then can we not say the same? I think sometimes we lose track of that. Sometimes we get so inwardly focused that we lose sight of the fact that the Holy Spirit is upon me. And maybe I'm just trying too hard to do things on my own. And this is not the starting point for you and me. But I want to encourage you this morning, come back to this point. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor, the afflicted. He has set me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the physically and spiritually, this is the Amplified by the way, captive, and to open to the opening of the prison and the eyes of those who are bound. To proclaim, to herald, to shout out the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of His favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion, to give them an ornament, a garland or diadem of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a heavy burden and failing spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, lofty, strong, magnificent, distinguished and up for uprightness, justice, and right standing with God, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. This is such a cool portion of Scripture. You know, and as Jesus started off His ministry, this is what He entered into. This is what He walked into. And I believe as we come to Christ, we get along with that mission, with that agenda, with God's plan. And I think if we look at the Scripture, I think it's very safe to say that God has a heart for the meek, the poor, the afflicted, the brokenhearted, and those that are bound. Because the Spirit has anointed Him to preach the good news to those that are sitting in these situations. And maybe you are sitting in some form or degree of this. Maybe you are denying it and you just have to be honest with yourself and go, but this is where I'm at. I guess your joy meter will show you where you're at. If your joy meter is on zero, maybe you are one of these people that God is wanting to address and say, hey, listen, I've got you on my heart. I want to speak to you. Because you are poor and afflicted, or you're brokenhearted. He wants to address you today. He says, listen, I came. God has anointed me to preach to you, to speak to you, to give you some good news. One of the biggest lies we can believe when we're in these situations is that God has left us. I want to tell you, this December season for many is a tough season, where they don't see God in their lives because of life. Maybe they're just at home alone. I've got no one. But like I said, one of the biggest lies we can believe is that when we go through these things, that God is no longer with us, that He's departed from us. And this is probably one of the strategies that the devil uses so well. Is, you know, we're all good when it's good. But when it's bad, obviously none of you, I get that. But when we go through the tough times, we feel that we are separated from God and He's not there. And we pray, and we pray, and we pray, and we think, but Lord, where are you? Why are you not answering my prayers? Why are you not here? And He says, man, I've anointed God, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to speak to you. When we go through these situations, they cause us to doubt the goodness of God, which is a terrible place to be in. You feel alone and abandoned without support. I want to say to you this morning that is all just a lie. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're in a good space. But I can tell you, most likely when you go through the bad space, that you will face these things, because the devil wants to come and demoralize you, break you down. And none of us are exempt of those things. James says, trials will come. But he also says, blow up the balloons, invite your friends over, hoy a party, because you are going through a trial. Okay, that's a Kobus Meyer version, all right? Maybe I should do a translation. It will be fun to read, I can guarantee you that. But from the Scripture, we can also see clearly that God has anointed the writer, or Jesus in this case, to declare good news, to heal, to deliver, even in the most dire circumstances. There is nothing that we face that He cannot solve. There's nothing. But when you're in it, this thing kicks in, this brain thing. And it tells you all sorts of nonsense. I know. I've been there recently. And in certain things, I'm still struggling with it, going, that's a lie, that's a lie, that's a lie. But it sounds like good, and my brain and my circumstances says it's the truth, and then I go, look, that's a lie. And you constantly have to watch it, because when you sit on your sitter in your room alone, and this brain kicks in and that spiral starts happening and you're thinking about the stuff that's going on in your life and this is not right and that's not working. Obviously, again, none of you understand this. But you get to that place where you go like, so why is life worth living? And then the scripture says there's some good news for you. Because the one who loves you knows where you're at. And he's got the power to take you out of that. He wants to declare over you liberty and freedom and favor and comfort, not abandonment. But we can major on the wrong stuff. But hear what he's saying, man. I'm declaring over you freedom. I'm declaring over you favor and comfort. Why? Because I'm for you. And again, I want to say to you, it is awesome for us to hear the word of the Lord when he speaks to us. But can we be the carriers of that to those that need it too? When you're going through stuff, you become so self-absorbed. You know, and you moan because people are not complimenting you or they're not saying nice things about you or whatever. But he declares liberty, freedom, comfort. He's the one that speaks these things. That is the reality on God's side. Your reality is a stinking reality. And if you dwell there, I guess you can choose where you pitch your tent, right? If you want to pitch your tent there, in the bad stuff, it doesn't change the truth that he is declaring this over you and over me. He wants to give you beauty for your ashes. Maybe, I felt like this in the week. I was like, God, all I have is ash. It's all I have is my ash. Okay, so maybe I'll be transparent. So I wasn't in a good space in this week, all right? Life happened, stuff happened. In actual fact, this year was not my best year ever. And I've been wrestling through some stuff with God And then in the week, as I was thinking, I actually had something else planned. And God said, you speak about joy. And I'm like, heck no, Lord. I can't speak about joy. I mean, where am I at? And because all I felt is, God, I have these ashes. I've got burned up stuff. I've got nothing. And he says, but then I'll give you beauty for that. I'll change your life. And it broke me. And I suddenly realized, what I see is absolutely useless. My father looks at it and goes like, it's not a problem. I'll give you beauty for that. I'll give you oil, the oil of joy. I'll come and I'll pour out over you oil of joy. And I went, hello. Then I went the other way. I'm like, but I don't deserve that. I don't deserve that, Lord. All I have is ashes. I've got this broken stuff, the stuff that's worthless. And what do you want to give me? Oil of joy? Oops. How nice. He wants to give me a garment of praise instead of heavy burden and failing spirit. He wants to trade my rubbish for his goodness. What? When you encounter God like that, it's a very vulnerable place. It's a tough one. And he says he wants to give you these things. Why? so that you can be an oak of righteousness. You don't have to be perfect to display the beauty and the glory of God. Can I release you of that pressure? You don't have to be perfect. You can just be yourself. You can just be real. And church, I want to speak to us because here we need to be real. This is not a fake it till you make it situation, this. Can I see your brokenness? Can I see your realness? Can I see who you are? And will you allow me to love you? I guess the question is, will I allow you to love me? Even when I'm broken and I haven't got it all together and I'm thinking there's better things to do in this world than ministry. And you're struggling through stuff and you're wrestling through it. And then God says, I want to give you oil for joy. I just want to pour it out to you. Come here, my son. He's not going, you stink, man. Play jy weg van my. He's got his stick out. He's going like, near, near, near. He's going, you need to come closer. So that I can make you an oak of righteousness. So I can take your brokenness and give you some beauty. I want to give you a new robe. So I can tell you, I've had some stuff. I've had some circumstances that came for my joy this year. This last month, it was a tough one. I had to, and I think I lost it at some point. I lost my joy. It went for a walk. You know what? And when I sit there and I look at the stuff that's going through my mind and the stuff that I'm facing, and I go, but I can still see God's goodness and how He's moved in this congregation, how He's moved in my life, what it's the stuff that He's doing. But you know, when you're wrestling and you're struggling with stuff, that's the last stuff that you actually look at, because you get so consumed about your stuff and you get into this place where you don't have joy. You don't feel that you can come before Him and go, hey, Dad, can we talk? You just feel like you're not worthy to be there. And then you hear the Spirit of the Lord say, I just want to pour out some liberty and freedom and favor and comfort over you, because you are my son, my daughter, and I love you so much. You know, I said this, I think, at the picnic. See, the one scripture that gave me hope this year so much, especially this last part of the year, is that Psalm 23 is a beautiful psalm, but there's this verse in verse 3 where it goes like, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, now I feel like I've been there. And then I take comfort in the fact that His rod and His staff is there to comfort me, to lead me. And He says that even when you're in that, I'm with you. I haven't left you. When all you see is darkness, you don't see squat else. And He says, but I'm there with you. And this is what's so beautiful about this portion, is that He goes like, even if you're in this stuff, I still want to trade you. Will you allow me to trade you, my beauty, for your ashes? My garment of praise for your, I don't know what you have. The Spirit of Heaven. Well, maybe some of us have something else. I don't know. He wants to give me the beauty and the oil of joy. That's a good trade. I love buying and selling stuff. This is a good deal. Amen. This is a win. This is a win. But when I read that scripture, I wondered, why does it say oil of joy? Why does it actually speak of oil? But what has got oil to do with joy in any case? Is it something, if it's oil of joy, can I go to the shop and buy it? Comes in a little bottle, says oil of joy. Use 3 times a day for maximum effect. You can't go somewhere to buy oil of joy. It's not there. Is it an instant remedy? You know, Wow, it would have been nice. Maybe we should bottle it. But when you look at Scripture and you look at oil and the different things that oil is about in Scripture, oil was used to anoint kings, to separate people for God's purposes. The shepherds used it to anoint their sheep's heads against the flies and the stuff that kept wanting to sit in these diseases. And I mean, there's an old sermon, and you've probably heard one. It was used for lamps and treating wounds. It was part of the cleansing rituals and the preparations. And then it's also a metaphor for the Holy Spirit. And if I read it in this context, then the oil of joy, the reference here is to the Holy Spirit. Because when that oil is upon me, when He is upon me, that is true joy. You see, because we can talk about joy, right? There's a lot of things in this world that bring temporary joy. You know, maybe it's just because I'm getting older now, but I don't know about you, but you kind of have this thing. Let's say, a new car. Hey, that would be awesome. Yeah? So you want a new car. You go like, you know, and you scheme and you plan and you do your things, and you know, you get to the point and you walk in, you buy the new car. Dion just did that.
Toyota finally.
Rolf, high five, blink. I say, nah. But I don't know about you, but I've been in that place where I've kind of desired something, whatever, and you kind of work to it, and then I get it, and it stands, and the new car stands there, and I go like, yeah, this is cool. If you're in India, I can tell you, yeah, scooter is maybe the best thing that you can have there. But then you, and I tell you what strikes me these days is how quickly that fades. Then I'm like, yes! And tomorrow I go like, oh, it's just a car. So the joy of the stuff that we pursue and the gifts that you're probably going to receive, and maybe you're hoping for the most amazing thing, that your husband has finally booked that trip overseas. No, I have not. just want to manage expectations here, but in any case. You know, when you open that gift, you go like, what? Finally, this is so awesome. And then 2 days later, you see it with kids, right? I want that car, I want that car, I want that car. And then you buy the car, and then you open it at Christmas, and they open it. What? It's the car. And 2 days later, it's there somewhere. Where's that car? I don't know. There's stuff that we pursue that is, the joy is temporal. It's quick. It's fleeting. You know? Yeah. I mean, I can pay 200,000 rand in your bank, and you go like, yes! And most of you, like a day later, it's gone. Some wise people will invest some of it, but the rest of us, man, I mean, come on, hit the shops. I could do that, huh? Yeah. But the joy that's referred to here is a direct result of the Holy Spirit that comes upon us. The oil that affirms us, that loves us, that gives us favor, kindness in the worst of times. A joy that is not fleeting. A joy that's not there and it's gone when the pawpaw hits the fan. And you know what? When I sat there moaning and groaning, I had to ask myself, but where am I at with the Holy Spirit in this? Do I see Him? Do I experience Him? Because He has not left. And maybe I'm busy with nonsense. And I'm failing to engage with the Holy Spirit in my situation. I am not putting on that garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness that I'm dwelling under. And the devil wants to say, just put there on, lay on me. Just make it heavy, man. So that you will quit or leave or whatever. He just wants to put it on you so that whatever you do, you don't fulfill the purposes of God for your life. And then you have to put on that garment of praise. You know what? And I realized when we go through stuff like this, the last thing we feel like doing is putting on the worship music and just going for gold. Switching off the brain and just worshiping Jesus. And getting into His presence. And it's funny thing, you know, we've counseled a few people and then you tell them that this year. And then you go like, listen, no, it's tough. Maybe you should just put on the worship music and praise and worship the Lord. And then 2-3 days later you ask them, did you do that? No. So Nehemiah at this point, Israel was in captivity and so on, and they've been set free, and they get to this place where the priest is reading the law, and the law just hits their hearts, man. Yes, they start crying. It's this incredible moment in God's presence. They're just standing there, and they get the instruction. Says Nehemiah said to them, go and enjoy choice food. Now again, this is from reading or the hearing of God's word. They're in God's presence. The instructions go home and feast. Amen. Enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those that have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our God. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, the joy that God brings, that the joy that comes from that intimate place in His presence will lead to a feast. It's not fleeting. It's not quick to be over. The word joy here in the Hebrew is the word chedwa. I think that's how you pronounce that word. Meaning joy, gladness. The root word in this context means to rejoice or to make glad. Okay, that strength, the word strength there is the Hebrew word meaning a place or means of safety, protection, refuge, or a stronghold. So the joy of the Lord is my strength. But the joy becomes that place of refuge, that stronghold, that place where I'm secure, where I find rest and peace in God's presence. But when I choose not to be there, then I miss that in my life. Then I don't have it. This joy is a constant gladness and a cause to rejoice. It comes from that place of intimacy. You cannot fake it. You cannot make it. You can only simply come into God's presence and receive it. Let Him pour out that oil of joy over your life. And I believe God wants to restore your joy maybe today. Well, He wants to do it. I guess it's up to you whether you want to receive it. I want to read that last portion again of Isaiah. It says that they, or you in this case, may be called oaks of righteousness. And that definition is lofty, strong, magnificent, distinguished, for uprightness, justice, and right standing with God. The planting of the Lord. Saints, it's time to get back into the joy. Allow God just to pour it out over us. Romans 15:13 says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. So if you are hopeless this morning, maybe just a hint of that, I want to say to you that God wants to pour out hope over you. He wants to fill you with that joy. And I want to say this. Don't settle for anything else. Don't settle for anything else. If you feel that you're there or you know someone that's there, go minister. Go pour out the oil of joy that is on you. Just go give it away. And God will keep pouring it over you, metaphorically speaking. So we have a choice today. We can either receive this oil, or we can reject it and stay in our sufferings. But the truth is that oil is here this morning. And he wants to pour it over you. If you are meek or poor or afflicted or brokenhearted or bound, he wants to set you free this morning.